Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Hi, I'm Fred Ottman. You may know me as Tugboat, Typhoon, or the Shockmaster. I want to say you're listening to the Neverland podcast.
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder.
There was once a dream. You could only whisper it. Anything more than a whisper, and it would vanish.
A battle between good and evil.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Where shall I find a new adversary so close to my own level?
Try the local sewer.
You know of the rebellion against the Empire?
The Avengers, Earth's mightiest heroes.
Peace means having a bigger stick than the other guy.
One of these days, I'm going to have a stick of my own.
I'm Groot.
Welcome to the Neverland Podcast. The podcast for lovers of Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
Please welcome your host, Jeremy.
I thought he'd be taller.
Yeah, I can fly.
All it takes is faith and trust.
Well, if it isn't the Star Spangled Man with a plan, what is your plan today?
Up to Neverland!
Take your pixie out of your pockets, Neverlanders. Sprinkle some of that there pixie dust around. Grab your happiest thought. Grab that happy thought by the somethings. Whatever a happy thought has, grab it by that. By the tail. Okay, this, yeah, moving on. But why do I always say grab that happiest thought? Phil, can you tell me why I say grab that happiest thought?
By the fistful.
By the fistful, because you can't grab thought, can you?
Well, I guess so. You could place it right in the midst of the brain.
Sure, but maybe I should be saying think your happiest thought, but I've always said grab, and I never seem to correct myself.
Well, now's the time.
Now's the time, but every time I try to correct it, it doesn't stick.
That's okay.
But of course, I am your head lost boy, Jeremy. You can call me Spider Pan, everybody does, because every lost boy or pixie has a nickname. And if you go to our website, neverlandpodcast.com, and go to the Neverlanders page, you can choose a nickname for yourself. And of course, you ladies are pixies because, as the book says, girls are too clever and they don't get lost. But all us boys are lost, and we have to have a nickname.
Yes.
Make it a good nickname. We'll send it to you. We'll announce you here on the show even. But I'm actually here with Lost Boy Kryptonian, Philip. Hello.
Howdy doody.
It's howdy doody time, but that's a totally different show.
Absolutely.
Lost Boy Eric is feeling a little bit under the weather, so we're giving him a break this week. But we've got a pretty big show. We're going to go a little outside Disney today.
Oh, boy.
I know. And some people freak out when I do this, but part of the show is about reliving our childhood and stuff we enjoyed in our childhood.
There is
a lot of Disney.
There is a Disney connection.
There is a Disney connection, yes.
I'll get to that in a moment.
We'll get to it, yeah. But something that was big to me when I was a kid, and maybe it helped form who I am, was the WWF at the time in the 80s. And Mean Gene Okerlund passed away at the age of 76 on Wednesday. And so we're going to do a tribute for him.
Yep.
Also want to go and throw a mention out to Super Dave Osborne.
Yes.
I forgot his real name. It's like Bob.
Something. I can't remember.
He'll always be Super Dave to me. I remember. I don't even remember what shows it was I would see him on.
He was on HBO a lot of times.
Yeah, the HBO ones you can tell when you find those clips on YouTube because he was allowed to swear.
Yes.
But he was like a walking cartoon character.
Yes.
And then eventually they did make a cartoon of him.
Yes, they did.
But the cartoon wasn't as much fun as his real life stunts that he would do.
He would show up a lot of times on the late nights with Johnny Carson.
Johnny Carson had, yes.
He would do stuff a lot of times with David Letterman.
Yeah.
He would show up a lot. He just showed up everywhere.
I think even on like That's Incredible, he would, I think, pop up.
He showed up all over the place.
And he's basically a parody of Evel Knievel, but he didn't act like he was being a parody. But his stunts, I found one on YouTube this week that was funny. I can't play the audio because it was an HBO one and he was allowed to swear. But he was getting into a car and he was acting like he was doing this great stunt. He was going to do this thing in the car and he's talking to this guy. Yes, and yeah, the car's running fine. I'm really confident about this stunt. Then as he gets into the car, they cut away, and this is where he's no longer actually really in the car, but he's pretending he is. And this thing comes down, and the junkyard thing grabs the car and drops the car in a car crush and crushes it, and the whole time he's like, I'm okay. think the steering wheel has been shoved into my chest. I'm having a little trouble moving my shoulder. But as it does the final crush, he did swear. And like, oh, blank, you know, and it was pretty funny. But then it's funny because the cube is then picked up and dropped over by the announcer. And he goes, I could use a little help getting out of this. I'm feeling a little bit of discomfort.
Yeah.
You know, so his stunts would be to do these incredibly stupid things that were fatal. But it was like a cartoon thing. And you just loved him for it. It was funny.
He was great. He was like Wile E. Coyote the human
being. He was.
Yeah.
So he would do these stunts. He wouldn't actually ever do the stunt, obviously, because he'd get killed. I even saw one where he was trying to put himself into a giant yo-yo, had a big hand that was going to go up and down. I shared this on Facebook. And the yo-yo thing broke free. And, of course, at this point, it's a mannequin or a dummy inside the yo-yo because you can see him spinning. But it actually broke loose and rolled down and went off a cliff. And it's funny because they had Robbie Knievel with him, and they were talking about Robbie Knievel had actually made the jump that Evil Knievel, his father, couldn't do. Yep. But Evil Knievel only jumped on a full-size Harley. Robbie Knievel had done it on like a dirt bike, so it was lighter, so he couldn't make the jump over this fountain. But so the announcer starts talking to Robbie Knievel. Well, what's going to be your next stunt? And Super Dave, you hear from the bottom of the clip going, guys, I think I broke my neck. Guys, is somebody going to come help me?
Yeah.
Guys.
And after all that was done with Super Dave, he continued to act. He would show up on all sorts of
deep voice anyway.
So. Oh, his voice was amazing.
Yeah.
He could just about do anything. I mean, he would show up on cartoons, doing voices. He would show up on TV shows. And he was always showing up doing stuff. Always.
Yep. So we're going to miss... Of course, you know, he hasn't done anything in a long time, so I can't... When I say, we're going to miss you, Super Dave, it's like, well, he's been missing for decades.
No, he hasn't. Really. He showed up on... I can't think of the name of it right now. The show I watch quite often on Netflix and other shows. He shows up, and even if it's just side character, but he still shows up quite often. And cool. Even if it's just a side character, but he can also be scary, by the way. He can be rather spooky. Yeah, he still shows up. In fact, him and Larry David do shows and stuff together. So, yeah, he shows
that
up.
That seems
and,
to fit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they got the sense of humor, you know. But
yeah,
he still shows up.
And like to
up.
Do stuff that almost reality-based.
He just doesn't do the Super Dave character, but he shows up and does other things. So, yeah, he will be missed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he was 76 years old also, as well as Mean Gene being at 76.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk all about Mean Gene later. But first, I got some news to get to.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
All right, now I have something exciting. I have Star Wars news.
Yay!
Exactly. And not just any Star Wars news.
What's that?
I have Star Wars Galaxy's Edge news.
Oh, right.
Yes, indeedy. Now, I did not know that such a thing existed, because no cast member has ever told me this, but they have their own cast member magazine.
Really?
Called Disneyland Line Resort.
Really?
Now, I don't know if they have a separate magazine for Disneyland and Walt Disney World. I'm guessing maybe they do, or maybe it's the same thing, but this is Disneyland Line. But it's, and I know they had like a newspaper that they used to distribute amongst the cast members. I've gotten to meet, I can't remember which, I think it might have been Tom Nabby was the one who actually delivered those. He was the original Tom Sawyer.
Oh, really?
Tom Sawyer's
really?
Island. I think he actually delivered the newspapers that they would go to the cast members. So I guess it makes sense that this exists. But there, I don't know how this got leaked out. But there are photos, and there's a really cool photo of a couple of cast members working inside the Millennium Falcon cockpit, which is really cool. And even, you know, well, some of these photos we've kind of seen these areas before, where you've got, you know, the little chessboard type of thing.
Oh,
I don't know what you call it. But also, we get a look at the ride vehicle for Rise of the Resistance.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so, it looks like it holds about eight guests. You've got this little black kind of imperial looking style droid sitting in the front of it.
Yes.
And so you're going to ride behind it. So we got a little bit of a look at some of the attractions. But we also learned this week, Bob Iger says that he hopes to have this open in Disneyland now in June. We were expecting late summer, but he says June.
And I must say, looking at the picture that I was just shown, that little... whatever you want to call it that you're riding, it looks very similar to an old toy that I once had. Not exactly, but very close to a toy that came out at the time of Empire Strikes Back. Now, that was never in the movie, but they used to come out, Kenner used to come out with toys at that time just to sell. just to sell and make money. You know?
Yeah.
But it was somewhat similar to that, even though the seating at the time was on the side of the toy. This is not. It does look very similar the way it's built. So that's really cool.
And everybody on the Falcon there is going to have a job to do.
Woohoo!
All right, so now here's the thing. We got a little bit of details about what we were expecting. So, Smuggler's Run on the Millennium Falcon, you're actually going to have the story of Hondo Onaka. Now, people who have been watching The Clone Wars and watched Rebels will be familiar with Hondo Onaka, voiced by Jim Cummings. So you are definitely doing something involving him. He cut a deal with Chewbacca to use the Falcon, and you are serving as, of course, you know, if you're going to do that sound, you got to do it up here. Phil's trying to make sounds for you all, but if he holds it way out there, it's just going to sound awful. So then you can teach them, but it takes time. But anyways... So sometimes you just got to move along. But anyway, so he's trying to add to the show. But anyway, so you're going to actually get to see the results of your actions. So, but that's the story, and it's going to actually apparently be different for every visit. After the ride, a visitor might stop at Ogus for a drink and be told something like, the boss isn't happy about how you brought the ship back. And this becomes a story-building thing around you because with your RFID bracelets and everything, they know how you performed on the ride, we knew about that. But now also, Star Wars Rise of the Resistance, we now got a little bit. There's a rundown of some of the rooms that you're going to see. And basically, you might, it says, might be captured at one point and ordered along by the enemy before you make your escape aboard a trackless troop transport, which that's what that photo was. So it's a trackless ride.
Oh, cool.
Which I guess gives you some variety of maybe something you do in the process of the ride. They might be able to send you off in different things, and then perhaps your interactions going around Galaxy's Edge might be different based upon how you did things on the attraction.
So if it's trackless, does that mean the little transport itself is programmed itself? Oh, okay.
Yes. All right. This is you guys haven't gotten to hear about trackless rides yet, have you?
No, I'm not.
It's personally. They started using some even in I think it's in Tokyo.
Japan, yeah.
Where else they did this the Mystic Mountain, which is because in like in Japan and China, their ancestors are not scary ghosts to them.
No, yeah,
so they can't do a haunted mansion because they respect their ancestors. So they did this thing called Mystic Manor.
Yeah.
It has actually a trackless ride system. And so you can have multiple things and they move around actually independently. And this is kind of a new technology. It's been going on for about maybe 5 years now. That's a lot of different places are using it. But this isn't trackless technology. But how it's saying that you may be captured at one point makes me wonder if the way you behave on the ride, or because if maybe it's interactive in some fashion, you might go off different paths, so the attraction could be different every time.
Or maybe there's every so many, like maybe every 5 to 10.
Maybe you get captured. But
yeah.
I think it's going to be more based on what you do, because the entire area, you are treated the way you have behaved on an attraction.
That's true.
You are treated different. If you are successful at the Millennium Falcon, you will be revered. If you do something great for the Resistance, you will be revered. But if you're a complete failure at things, there may even be a bounty hunter looking for you if you fail on the Millennium Falcon ride.
That's awesome.
You are completely immersed in the world in Galaxy's Edge.
That's true. That'll be fun.
And you even have this cantina. Now, I did see a little bit more about some of the shops and the retail and the cantina. I found out a little bit of extra weird stuff.
Oh, let me hear.
So, they're going to have an animatronic character there to barter with you.
Oh.
You can negotiate price, and a cast member will be kind of at the reins, but can accept your price, and you might even be able to trade, like, heck, maybe you've got some pins or something you've got. You might be able to trade pins or trade something you have to get something that it has, and it might be exclusive items. And the weird thing is, the merchandise isn't going to be standard theme park merchandise. You're going to find maybe characters. Like maybe you could find a Chewbacca doll, but it's not going to look like Chewbacca. They're going to base this off some of the original artwork by I forgot the guy's name.
I can't think of
his
name either.
Gosh,
see him, but
Ralph McQuarrie. They're going to base it off of that because the idea in this world, you're in the Resistance time period. All these characters are legends, and so they're supposed to be like, well, this is what we think Luke Skywalker looked like.
Oh.
So it won't look like Mark Hamill, but it'll be, but this is a Luke Skywalker doll that we're selling.
The George Lucas-based
one. Yeah,
awesome.
It will look different because it'll be the legendary Luke Skywalker, but not a Mark Hamill Luke Skywalker. So it's not theme park merchandise. It is in-world merchandise where they revere these people.
Awesome. Very cool.
Very, very clever.
Yeah.
Now, another thing that I was reading up on, and the same thing... you can buy blue milk from a bantha farmer.
Oh, that's
so here
cool.
We know where blue milk comes from. It comes from banthas. It's confirmed.
Oh, there you go.
So if you want that green milk, I guess you got to go milk a sea cow somewhere. But but blue milk comes from banthas. It's confirmed. So you find a bantha farmer, you can have blue milk.
Oh, bantha poodoo.
No, you don't want the poodoo. You want the blue milk.
That's right. That's right.
So lots of crazy, crazy fun stuff. I want to make sure I've picked up on everything that had something to do with Star Wars before I move on. Yes.
I've heard this.
Carrie Fisher has said that there were some good things coming from Episode 9, apparently. Or at least her family, I guess, was saying
yes,
it.
Yes.
They're happy with what they're doing with Leia in Episode 9. I don't know what it is exactly they're doing. But whatever they're doing, the Carrie Fisher family and fans and everything, apparently they're all so far saying, hey, that's great. So
all I read, and this is just recently, and so don't take this, with a bucket of salt, not just a grain. But for what I was reading just yesterday, they said that there was enough work of Carrie Fisher, enough stuff on the films that they've made of her, that they have enough to do things with her that will let her be remembered as if it was been
as
done for this film.
Was there. Yep.
Which
yep.
I think is wonderful.
That's what I've been hearing.
Because I know originally with the other ones, the other director was going to do it, they were not going to use her at all from what I saw or heard and read. Mm. And I'm thinking this is more appropriate.
Yeah, J.J. Abrams probably has all kinds of footage even from doing the first film.
Yeah, because why just write her off like into the sunset with nothing?
If you can bring her in, you know we're all going to cry when we see her. Like, oh!
She should be remembered.
Yeah.
And the way I was, in there. Now I also know cool. Mark Hamill's in this.
Yeah.
And the way
probably
I would like it.
Ghost, course, I guess.
Yeah, as I was going to say, I want to see the ghost of Han, if they could. Because to me,
he wouldn't know how to bring himself back
to
the Force,
but,
though.
But Mark, if he's gone, I say Mark, Luke, if he's gone, could maybe help him. The way I see it, I would like to see the three
like
main
to see
guys.
It, yeah.
Because you know Chewbacca's around.
Be neat.
You know C-3PO's around, R2. I would like to see the main crew.
Yeah.
Shoot, I'd like to see Obi-Wan. I mean, because you got...
get Ewan McGregor or something. Well, except for we've established that Obi-Wan appears as old man Obi-Wan.
Yeah, but you could do that with you know, you CGI probably... and makeup and all.
Well, you'd have to pay some rights to, if you're going to use an Alec Guinness image, you have to pay to his family the rights for his image. But maybe you could get Ewan McGregor with enough makeup and it would be passable.
It'd be close enough, yeah.
So that you might be able to get that to work. And it would be nice, though, to get an actual image of Alec Guinness somehow or another and computerize that, because he's going to be a see-through ghost anyway. Maybe they can do that.
And
it would be nice, but you'd have to pay
to
the Guinness family.
And you couldn't even get somewhat... Now, I personally like the older Darth, you know, the older Anakin, but who's to say you couldn't get... What's his head?
Hayden Christensen makes an appearance as an Anakin.
Because that
to talk to Kylo Ren.
That would be
like,
awesome.
Hey, I was wrong.
To see them all together. This I'm just talking about myself. I'd like to see all the folks together at the end happy. That's all. I'm a happy-go-lucky guy.
Well, here's something else that's interesting. So Disney and or 21CF will issue a press release announcing the completion of the merger when they are completed. You can obtain this information at SEC's website, blah, 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 SEC.gov. This is basically some letters, documents, or something that have come out and about for the shareholders. But that kind of indicates that the Walt Disney merger or acquisition of 21st Century Fox, basically the film half of 20th Century, should be completed actually very, very soon. It takes time with a merger of company to kind of work out some of the fine details and get everything working right. But it seems like we might be done and getting this taken care of pretty quick, which I still hope the first thing they do, because they will have all rights to the original Star Wars trilogy.
Yes.
They can release the original movies on Blu-ray digital.
Yes.
Please do so.
I'll tell you another thing I'm looking forward to seeing. It bothers me, and this is just me being a geek again, but I've seen that the Skrull are coming with some of the new Marvel movies.
Yes.
Me being a Fantastic Four nut like I am, the Skrull are Fantastic Four villains. That's where they start.
Yeah.
I say bring the Fantastic Four, a good version of Fantastic Four. Bring him into this, please.
Yeah,
Fantastic Four villain in the original Guardians.
Third time's
the
charm, right?
Third time's a charm, but do it right. Now, don't get me wrong. I actually liked some of those first two.
Those
movies.
First two were okay.
They were okay. They were passable, but not great.
They were not great. Yeah. I'm not even going to see that other one. That just sounded terrible.
No, I won't see it because what little I saw of it was
terrible.
But that being said, you can do it. If you can do
it, you can do it.
Yeah. You can do Guardians of the Galaxy, and you can
make Avengers. a fantastic Four movie.
That's it.
See what I did there?
Hey, that's what got Stan Lee going.
Yeah.
It is.
That's right.
People
that's
talk right. about, oh, they're too goofy. Listen, if it weren't for Fantastic Four, you wouldn't have Spider-Man.
Right.
You wouldn't have Avengers. You wouldn't even have Stan Lee be what he became.
Yeah. He'd have been just the guy who had written a few stories.
And who retired at the age of 42, I think it was.
Something like that, because he was about to retire, and his wife was telling him, you write the story that you want to write.
Yeah.
Because you got nothing to lose now. All right.
Yeah, so I say let's give it a chance. They deserve that.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
We deserve that.
And let me go ahead and squash the rumors. People are trying to start a rumor that you're going to see Hugh Jackman as Wolverine in Avengers Endgame. No, you are not. Okay? That has been confirmed. That is a lie. Somebody's trying to get attention, apparently.
Yeah, he said like that, too.
Yeah. But Ed Moriarty, who is the Disney Springs pioneer and Ron John president, has just passed away at 77. So I'm not familiar with his name, but he had a long career. He did the Ron John Surf Shop. And also, I mean, I guess, you know, pioneer of the Disney Springs. Of course, Disney Springs is what used to be Downtown Disney over in Walt Disney World. And I guess maybe this was his baby from what they're talking about.
Yes, I've heard.
But, you know, that's, I have not, he actually retired at 45, but after 20 years on the job. But I guess he's had an impact that has been lasting, and it was a big push to the, you know, there's a whole lot of details on a page on the Orlando Sentinel, but I'm not going to get too deep into it. But he did a lot of great work, apparently, and passed away. But something else that is kicking off on Monday. So by the time you're hearing this, now this is kind of weird because it's happening now. I would have expected this to be November. But a whole lot of new Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse celebration and stuff, basically, they're telling you to get your ears on. Starting here in January, and this is the 90-year celebration. And I like that it's not just Mickey, it's Minnie as well. Because
she's just as old.
Right. You don't tell Minnie that she's old now. Careful.
I love you, honey. I'm sorry.
Minnie's not old. She's just 90 years young.
She's revered.
She's revered for 90 years. Oh, actually, I guess January 18th. Well, there is some stuff that's supposed to, I saw it was starting Monday. I forgot what it is. But January 18th is Mickey's Mix Magic. And that's going to be at Disneyland Park, New High Energy Projection Show. This is going to be a DJ Mickey who's going to be spinning a song called It's a Good Time. A lot of fun stuff. There's going to go sky high with all kinds of projections. There's some concept art actually on the Disney blog. That is really, really cool. And then from January 22nd through February 18th, there's going to be a new Mickey Mouse flower portrait out there in front that's going to be specific for this big celebration. They're also going to have some churros that have these little Mickey Mouse different colored sprinkles. This is really cool. And even there's like a sauce or something to dip it in that has like these two little, must be candy, like little Mickey Mouse buttons, and it's a red sauce.
It's ridiculous.
So there's going to be a lot of great specialty foods and things going on. I thought there was something supposed to start on Monday, though. But I'm seeing stuff beginning January 18th, so I guess it might be a couple weeks away. But if you happen to be down in the parks and there's something cool going on, keep an eye out. This mainly is talking about Disneyland, but I believe there will be some stuff at Walt Disney World as well. This particular article seems to be talking specifically about Disneyland, but maybe that's why I was thinking about Walt Disney World, so maybe there's something I saw starting Monday there. But they're starting the full-on celebration for Mickey and Minnie in the parks here in January, which they should have been doing since November, but that's okay.
I just thought of someone else who needs to be revered as well. Who has gotten skipped?
Pete
on the villa side.
He has been around even longer.
Yeah, well,
he was actually running around a little bit with Oswald the Lucky Rabbit.
See,
I don't know that he was named, but it was the same character. He is in at least one or two.
Mr.
Lucky
Peggy
Rabbit.
Pete. Look.
Yes, he's been around for a while, and I'm thankful that Walt managed to keep that character.
And somehow he gets skipped. No wonder he hates Mickey and all the rest.
He gets ignored.
Poor
but
cat.
We love Pete.
We love it. And he's
mainly because Jim Cummings,
he
taught us to love the character
guy.
In a different way.
He becomes somewhat of a good guy in the new Mickey show. He's a.
I haven't watched this.
He's somewhat of an irritating good. Well, I say good guy. He's the neighbor who you can't help but love and dislike and like all at the same time.
He's the lovable jerk.
Yeah, he is.
Yes.
He's the lovable jerk. He really is.
Now, here's something this is just a weird thing that I found. But, okay, this is what's happening on Monday. Maybe this is where I got confused. But Monday, January 7th, and running until this spring, Sleeping Beauty Castle is going to be having some internal refurbishments and some repairs to the roof. Apparently, the big, what was it? Like, was it a 60-year celebration?
Mm.
Wow. But the big celebration did some damage to the roof.
Oh, my goodness.
And they're finally going to get a chance to repair it. And it's going to take a few months. But they're fixing it up starting tomorrow. Maybe that's the Diamond Celebration from May of 2015 and through the fall of 2016 apparently did damage to the roof.
Isn't that something?
And it's been a couple of years, but they're finally getting around to fixing it. Now what the other thing is they need to get around to fixing is Disco Yeti. Yeah. And everybody said, preach. So
preach it, brother. Preach it.
By the way, are you Polynesian?
No, I know. Are you?
No, I'm not either. If you are, though, there actually is a casting alert going on for the Disney parks. They want some Polynesian dancers. And they're actually got a few different things that they're calling some casting, but they're looking for they're a show that's going to be called Spirit of Aloha, and they're looking for dancers, singers, and actors, but they want classic Hawaiian luau style thing going on. Which, you know, I can see this being maybe a Moana tie-in or whatever.
Sounds like it.
But that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, it does.
So I don't know exactly where they're planning to have this. I think this would go very well over in Epcot, but it doesn't say where this is happening. But it does say Walt Disney World.
Yes.
But so there's a good chance to audition for this. There's a website, backstage.com, that you can look for this. I did post this, of course, also to our Neverland Facebook page, which go ahead and hit like. We also have a group that you can join. The group can be a little bit more interactive, but I mainly post articles to the fan page. Also, keep an eye on our Twitter, at Neverland PCast, because I do share a lot of stuff onto the Twitter feed as well. So make sure you're following us there. And while you're there, by the way, go to patreon.com and find us and become a donor, because we could use some donors, because donors get exclusives and get ad-free episodes. But moving right along, that is every little bit of news that I dug up today, or this week. Not today. I've been pulling it up all week, if you see on Facebook, but that's all I've got to tell you today. So let us move right along.
This is your Neverland story time. You can listen along with your MP3 device. You will know it is time to listen when you hear the chime like this. Let's begin now.
All right, so for today's story time, I'm doing something a little bit different. This isn't a storybook, but this is a segment from a cartoon called Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling. It was a Saturday morning cartoon, so it might be a little hard to follow, but this was appropriate for what we're going to talk about today. So, enjoy. This is called Clean Gene, and we have a couple of live-action segments that go around an actual cartoon segment.
Prominent managers Fred Blassie, Mr. Fuji, and Bobby Heenan. Gentlemen, what's going on?
First of all, it's none of your business what's going on. Every time you report anything about myself, Blassie, or Fuji, you do it one-sided and biased, and we're not going to do any interviews with you. We're getting out of here.
Let's come on. Wait a minute, gentlemen, just a second. Hold on.
Gentlemen, please.
Hey, Blassie, Fuji, Heenan. Hey, guys, just a minute. Wait a second. Hold on. Wait a minute, Bobby Heenan. I have some very pertinent questions that I want you to address. Blassie, Fuji,
Vincent,
just a second, gentlemen. Wait a second.
Office.
I want to... Hold, please, wait a minute. Hold on. Gentlemen, there isn't anything that Mean Gene won't do to get his story.
Nothing like a nice, peaceful lunch.
Uncle and you wimp, we want to talk to you.
Well, Mr. Piper, Iron Sheik, as I'm sure you can see, I'm having lunch right now. Perhaps later.
You're always saying good things about that stupid Hogan and bad things about us.
Yes, for very good reasons. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'd like to have my lunch.
How about starting with a nice piece of pie?
Good idea, Piper.
One pie, $2.50.
Hulk Hogan, am I glad to see you?
That's my friend you're holding.
Oop! Ha! He's only Big Joke. No harm done, see?
When it comes to big jokes, Andre knows what's funny.
We better get out of here, Roddy. They've got us outnumbered.
All right, but this isn't over yet. We'll get you, Wimp, and you too, Hogan.
Special today, turkey. Well, that's the truth.
I hear you're heading for Canada to announce a big match, Mean Gene.
I sure am, Hulk, but to tell the truth, I wish I wasn't.
How come, Mr. Okerlund?
Well, Hillbilly, I just bought a house here, and it needs a lot of cleaning before I can move in.
Only 7 plates today, Andre?
I'm not too hungry.
Dealing with Rowdy Roddy and that sneaky sheet could kill anybody's appetite.
Almost anybody. Where is your new house, Mean Gene?
Up in the hills, 538 Canyon Drive. Lovely place. I've been saving for it for years.
Here you go, Clotilda.
Did you see that, wrestling fans?
You gonna have a get-down housewarming party, Mean Gene?
I sure am, just as soon as I can get the place cleaned up. And I want to invite you all.
Have a good one, Mean Gene.
So long, everyone. So long.
Bye-bye.
You know, dudes, it would be a heavy-duty surprise for Mean Gene if we had his house all clean for him when he got back.
We know where it is.
Then let's boogie on over there and do it.
Arriba! Rowdy Roddy will be very interested in this.
This is it, 538 Canyon Drive.
Nice house.
Big, too. I see what Mean Gene meant by a lot of cleaning.
Ain't no bigger than my Uncle Elmer's barn, and I used to clean that in a jiffy. Of course, that was a different kind of dirty.
How do we get in, Hulk? No problem, brother. Long as I got my good old junkyard skeleton key with me.
This is the place, and Hogan is already here.
This place doesn't look so dirty to me.
Swamps don't look dirty to you, Captain Lou.
Andre, you and Superfly take the living room. Captain Lou, you and Wendy clean the kitchen. The rest of us will spread out and do the other rooms.
Get that open, Big John.
No problem. After you, Comrade Moolah.
Oh, thank you, Nicky.
Stud, you baby brain!
Gee, Roddy, it's not my fault the Wimp has a pool. I think I better clean out the refrigerator first.
Oh, no, you don't. You wash the floor. I'll take care of those dishes.
I'll check out the other rooms, Hulk.
Duck!
All clear. Where's Roddy?
No! You idiots! You jerks! You!
And another one cleans the dust.
Look out!
Maybe we should split up, Roddy.
Great idea.
Junkyard, everybody!
You must
must have been more dirt in here than we figured.
I think that thing's gonna...
Looks like we've got more work to do than we planned, amigos.
Now look, dudes, we've got to be a little more careful here.
I'll say, this house is dirtier now than when we started.
If you ask me, this joint is jinxed.
Or haunted. I could swear I keep hearing laughter.
You've been reading too many comic books, Tito. Now let's go back to work and remember, be careful.
There! This will fix those boobies good.
Comrade Chick, Hogan's coming.
Quick, in here, Nikolai.
Now to give these floors a good shine. Hey! Hold it, you metal machine!
Look out!
What's that, Roddy?
Junkyard, look! It's Piper and his goons! And I bet they caused all this trouble.
Let's get out of here! We're safe now!
Now where did they go?
I know he went this way.
Piper, you're making me mad!
Holy cow, what's going on here?
Mean Gene, what are you doing here?
The Canadian match was canceled, so I thought I'd come up here and start my house cleaning.
We got your house clean for you, Oakland. We got it real clean.
This time we are winners and you are loser, Gene Means.
I don't get it, Hulk. Why would Rowdy Roddy wreck this house?
To get back at you and us. See, we were going to surprise you by having it all cleaned up when you got back.
But these sneaky dudes sabotaged us.
That's right. So how do you like that, Rip?
But this isn't my house. That's my house.
But you said 538 Canyon Drive.
Did I? Oh, well, I meant 583 Canyon Drive.
Then whose house did Piper wreck?
Mine.
Hulk, this is my neighbor, Police Chief Walker.
Police Chief? I think we make a little mistake, Roddy.
Hulk, I want you to know I appreciate what you tried to do for me.
We can still do it, Mean Gene. Now that Piper's out of our hair, we can get your new place cleaned up real nice.
If it's all the same to you, Hulk, I think I'd rather do it myself.
Mean Gene here telling you how much I enjoy covering the great... Apparently I have the hiccups. Covering the great superstars of professional wrestling, including Tito Santana and a host of others. Tito Santana,
Gene,
I see
you've got the hiccups. I've got something that'll cure your temporary condition here. How about a sip of water?
Perhaps. I'll try anything.
That should do it. That should take care of them.
Did it work, Tito? Sorry, I believe I still have the hiccups.
How about try holding your breath for a second, Gene, or two?
Sorry, Tito, that didn't work either.
Didn't work either?
I apologize.
This should work for sure. How about breathing into the paper bag?
I don't think it's going to work.
I've got one less desperate measure to take.
It'll cure my hiccups?
It'll cure your hiccups.
Oh, no! I'll be cured forever!
To Disney and beyond!
Now, I was actually first introduced to a lot of these wrestlers through the Rockin' Wrestling cartoon.
Same here.
So as I started watching that, and then Saturday mornings, they started actually showing some wrestling stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's where we first saw Mean Gene Okerlund.
Yes.
Who was basically like the Howard Cosell of wrestling.
Oh, yes.
So he was always having to stand there for... And I prefer the way they used to do it compared... I mean, because now they go out in the middle of the ring and they do their promos.
Yeah.
But it used to be there was all a backstage thing. And the color... The characters were a lot more colorful.
Yeah.
So you'd have straight-laced Gene Okerlund, who's trying to go like he's doing a professional job, and he'll have these over-the-top wrestling characters that he's having an interview, and he's trying to keep a straight face.
Give me a break!
Exactly.
He was great. He really was.
He was so the, fun.
He was what made wrestling for me. He was kind of what made it fun. I mean, of course, my favorites, like Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, you know, all of them. Macho Man Randy Savage. Oh, yeah! But you had all these great characters, and there he was. He was the one that could make it, I don't know if you want to say believable.
Yeah.
But he was putting a little bit of truthfulness to it.
Yeah, because he was like the regular, he was like being a sports reporter.
Yeah. And you do have some of that once in a while now. Like, mm-hmm. you'll be in the backstage, and you have some people who try to be a little bit of realistic. But you don't have it like then.
Yeah.
You know, you just have a few people like that nowadays. But yeah, Mean Gene back then. He was the one that brings some realism to it, so to speak. That's why he would say some of the same things like, give me a break, and I can't believe this, he'd say. I miss those things.
And he was always trying to maintain like this dignified area. Yeah. When he'd have somebody going completely nuts.
Are you kidding me?
Exactly. And he had to keep a straight face. And sometimes he was able to kind of cut up and joke around like with Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
They had a lot of fun together.
Yeah.
That was the thing. He was presenting it as if it's like a real actual thing, and it was part of his job. He would announce where they were going to be, what cities they were going to be on, what dates and what matches were going to be there. So he was doing like this full professional job, but then he'd have to try to go and do an interview, whatever, as a wrestler, and basically they're just cutting a promo about an upcoming match, and the craziness would ensue. And I have some clips.
Yeah.
And so I want to show you some of these clips.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about some of them.
The Ultimate Warrior, take a Gene. All right, I thank you very much, Vince McMahon. I've got to pose some of the questions to you, Ultimate Warrior, that Vince just discussed with the World Wrestling Federation champion, Hulk Hogan. First of all, what happened tonight? Ultimate Warrior.
What happened tonight was already written, Hulk Hogan. It was written a long time ago when the warriors that came before me and you... Yes, I'll do it. Now, what we must do is beyond us, Hulk Hogan. I stood with my back to you, Hulk Hogan, and I knew you would not come. But, Hulk Hogan, when I looked into your eyes, I saw walls, walls filled with fear. Fear that ran thick through you, Hulk Hogan, at Royal Rumble. I needed no friends. I needed no partners. Every man stands by himself like the Ultimate Warrior always has. But Hulk Hogan, you still do not understand. You still have mistrust. I need not your protection, Hulk Hogan. Look on the wall of the Joe Louis Arena.
What in the world?
The warriors that could not come have attached themselves to the outer structure, Hulk Hogan. They're seeping through, dealing me, beating me with the power to survive. They ride on my back for my protection. I need not you, Hulk Hogan. And if you look closer, you will notice red and yellow, the colors of Hulkamania, Hulkamaniacs that are questioning. Do you have, Hulk Hogan, what it takes to be the most powerful force in the entire universe? Hulk Hogan, look at me, Hulk Hogan. Look at me! Without the paint, Hulk Hogan, the desire to withstand the pain and give you the utmost in battle and combat at WrestleMania 6 still stands, Hulk Hogan, for I am the chosen one.
I get the impression that we've got a loose cannon on our hands, ladies and gentlemen, with the Ultimate Warrior. We're going to be back with James Buster Douglas right after this. Oh.
So yes, that's with the Ultimate Warrior going completely nuts behind him, and Mean Gene trying to maintain his, you know, presence of being a sportscaster. Meanwhile, Hulk Hogan,
it sounds like Incredible Hulk.
So that was Mean Gene's talent, is he could keep it and keep a bit of sensibility when this guy is completely nuts. That's why we love the Ultimate Warrior, because he was nuts.
He was off his nut. I do love him.
Yeah, that's why we loved it. So, and then Mean Gene, and then oh my goodness, when he would react like, oh,
what in the world?
He would just react. And then even when he's trying to, you know, end the segment, Warrior's behind him still going, oh. That's part of what made him awesome, is that he could keep straight faced, and he would maybe adjust his collar like, oh my goodness, you know, a little bit, what in the world?
And
you know?
He would look at us and he'd break that fourth wall, because he could do that. That was part of his job. He'd break the fourth wall and give us a look like, are you serious?
Like, are you seeing what I'm seeing?
Yeah. Kind of looking at us and saying, are you in on the joke? Yeah, are you in on the joke like I am?
Oh, but sometimes you have somebody who's just really fun on the mic.
Yeah.
And they do weird things with candy.
Wow, take it away. And unbelievable right there. What are you, head waiter? Huh? Don't unbelievable things happen.
Could be.
Now, here's what it goes. Tito Santana, 1986. Hulk Hogan, 1986. Winning the belts from you is going to be easier than, hold this, taking candy away from a baby. Unbelievable. I could take all the candy and pour it on your head right now. But I ain't gonna. I'm gonna pour it over mine. Cause I ain't got no dignity. No, I don't. Not when it comes to winning a world heavyweight championship belt. Aren't I something, man? Did you see me out here putting candy on my head?
Macho man. Macho.
Right there.
Macho man.
Okay, yeah.
Elizabeth has been a big part of your success.
Yeah.
Certainly she is a very attractive addition to the World Wrestling Federation. You give her a lot of credit, do you not?
Why shouldn't I put candy on your head right now? But I could take it right behind myself and throw it right on Elizabeth. Or I can take these glasses and smash them against my head.
Don't.
Show the intensity that I want. The World Heavyweight Championship belt. Elizabeth, get out of here right now. Get out of here.
How can you dismiss her like that?
I dismiss her like I'm dismissing Hulk Hogan, yeah. Hulk Hogan, man, understand that the belt will fall in 86. The World Heavyweight Championship belt will fall in 1986.
Now, is that a prediction or is that a promise?
It's a promise, yes it is. And I promise to you, the public out there, that you'll have a champion that you can be proud of, the world's greatest athlete. Ask Tito Santana what he is. He's a stepping stone to the World Heavyweight Championship belt. And I guarantee you, Elizabeth, and anybody out there, don't bet against the Macho Man. Not this year. No.
Thank you, Randy Savage. Randy Savage certainly has eyes for the heavyweight.
All right, so that is just one of several times I saw him with Macho Man.
Oh, brilliant.
He's even got the great thing of talking about being the cream rising to the top, and he's almost doing sleight of hand. He keeps popping up these coffee creamers to Mean Gene and puts one in Mean Gene's pocket and stuff.
Macho Man was a genius. Mean Gene and him were so good playing off each other.
Oh, yeah.
They were so good.
And the funny thing is, and this wasn't in the clip that we just watched, but there was another one I watched where Macho Man, if you're familiar with him, he would do his turn around thing,
yeah.
And he would spin, and you'd watch Mean Gene trying to follow him with the mic, and he'd come around behind him, and then he'd have to walk around, because Macho Man was spinning in place.
Ooh. Spinning in place. Oh, yeah.
Try to follow me. It's impossible.
So watching Mean Gene follow him with this microphone to try to keep it so he could keep talking is the funniest thing, I swear you, I've seen in a wrestling thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
It's great just trying to keep up. So it was just funny watching him, you know, interact with these guys. And this is, you've got, you know, the Macho Man who's becoming a big star at this time, and he's dumping candy on his own head. And I love that Macho Man says, like, because I got no dignity.
Yeah.
And Gene is managing to not bust up laughing despite Elizabeth coming in behind him. And she's laughing. She's trying to not laugh. And she thinks it's funny and cute. You can see her give Macho Man a little kiss on the cheek because they were actually married at the time.
Yeah.
Although their wedding
not
actually.
Not character.
Not in Yeah. Their characters got married like right before their actual divorce, which is sad.
Very sad.
But it's just funny because she thought it was funny and cute. He's dumping candy over his own head.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Mean Gene is just maintaining and being a professional sports reporter.
I don't know how he did it. I really don't.
I don't know either, because that cracks me up.
Yeah.
So.
I love him.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Gene Okun here with the brand new World Wrestling Federation champion, Hulk Hogan. You proved it to thousands and thousands of fans, not only here tonight in Madison Square Garden, but throughout the wrestling world.
You know something, Gene? They proved it to themselves. All I asked was for the whole WWE to stand behind the Hulkster, and I told him I'd bring it home for the USA. You know something, Gene? It is the dream of a lifetime, Daddy.
Oh.
And you know something? I can't imagine. This is like going to the mountaintop 1,000 times over. I feel the energy. Hulkamania is running worldwide, and it just turns me on, Gene. And I felt every one of those 25,000-plus people with me standing behind me all the way, and it felt great.
Well, you have arrived, Hulk Hogan.
Have you ever seen anything as beautiful as this, Gene? This belt is part yours, too. It's everybody out there.
Oh,
man.
Andre the Giant congratulating the new heavyweight champion of the world.
That's nice of you. I'm really proud of you. And you are a good wrestler. I'm proud of
you. Oh, the champagne is blowing. Ivan Putski.
Okay, baby. Hey, I'm proud of you, Jack. Oh. Very good, huh?
Can you win?
It's Super Monday at the Garden with the new heavyweight champion, Hulk.
All right, so I'd say he's most famous sometimes with his times with Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
That's where Hulk Hogan became the champion right
yes,
there.
Absolutely.
He beat the Iron Sheik.
Absolutely.
And that's, Hogan is spitting it as he speaks, and,
yeah,
and Mean Gene's trying to, like, not get spit on.
Yeah, of course, he's all sweaty and full. That's one of the greatest moments. That's one of my favorite moments.
Very yeah.
Favorite moments.
And then Andre the Giant shows up, dumps champagne on him. Mean Gene's trying to not get champagne.
Yeah.
But somebody comes up behind Mean Gene and dumps champagne on him anyway.
I'm very proud of you. You know who that was?
I'm very
that was,
proud
that
of
was
you.
The Rock's dad.
It was, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Rocky, yeah.
I know that guy looked familiar, but
yeah,
I couldn't think of it.
That was the Rock's
that
dad.
Was the Rock's dad.
Yeah,
wow.
That was Rocky.
So this is like the difficulties doing the job where he's trying to be professional, and you got it's just chaos and craziness
yeah.
going on, and he's maintaining.
Yeah, Vince
I forgot to even go and talk about some of his history because he was part of that. Mean Gene, he was with AWA.
That's that. Him and Hogan got to know each other there.
At AWA.
They
and plus Jesse the Body Ventura.
Body Ventura.
Now, here's a story I got to tell you real quick before I forget that I was going to tell this story. So. Jesse Ventura, part of his gimmick, when he would interview with Gene, and he would just call him Okerlund at the time, and but he was always name-dropping some rock star that he was supposed to be hanging around with. One time he comes up to Gene, and he says, well, I was just hanging around with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Oh, great one, yeah.
And, well, you do know who that is. And Gene says, isn't he a race car driver? Thinking of Richard Petty.
Richard Petty.
And at this moment, Jesse Ventura says, that's Mean Gene.
There you
and
go.
And it stuck. And there that's how he became Mean Gene. Although I've heard also in the same story when Gene was telling that, he never liked being called Mean Gene.
Oh,
but he
true.
Used it and even started as like his restaurant chain as Mean Gene. But that's where that comes from is the days with AWA and Jesse the Body Ventura gave him that.
Yeah, he'd walk around as Mean Gene and AWA. He had that red coat.
Yes.
And him and Hogan both came over to WWF because there's three W's
yeah.
at the time in the early 80s and throughout the 70s. They came over like in, I think it was 80, 81. They came over around the exact same time. Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty all came around shortly after that. Well, theirs was the early 80s, like 84, 85,
yeah.
86. Anyway, they all worked at AWA around the same time. And that all happened, as did Ultimate Warrior and a couple others, and Sting, as a tag team.
Yeah.
But they all worked in AWA and together. But Mean Gene and Hogan came around the exact same time
yeah.
over to WWF. And then when they was over there at WWF, when they both kind of helped each other, because, boys, you could see
yeah.
Mean Gene and Hogan, boom, they both just...
They launched it.
Launched it.
Yeah.
That's when wrestling really hit its stride.
Yeah, you know, which, real quick, there is a Disney connection you had mentioned, which
yes.
I think I know what you're talking about, because WCW, when Mean
yes.
Gene was working over there, actually filmed over in the Hollywood Studios
yes.
area at Walt Disney World, back when they were trying to make programs
Absolutely.
Over there.
Absolutely. Whenever Hogan went to WCW, the big interview, when Hogan was saying, I'm going to WCW, you can see this MGM emblem behind them. You see, because that's what they were called, MGM.
Yeah,
Studios.
MGM's Universal, or no, not Universal, MGM Hollywood Studio Theme Park.
Yeah.
What are they called?
Yeah, yeah, MGM Studios. And you can see Hulk Hogan being interviewed, and that's when Mean Gene was there too. And of course, Jimmy Hart was there. Because he's always with Hogan.
Right.
And there you saw Hogan there being interviewed, and Mean Gene came with him and a few others. And it was a big deal. So there you go. There's the connection. The Disney connection.
And we're going to get to something that's connected to that connection. But I have more stuff with Gene and Hogan that I have to share. In fact, they were actually in a tag team match together.
Yes,
that happened, I think, like Minneapolis. And they had this segment that they filmed of them training together, and it's a riot. So I'm going to play the audio for you right now.
Hulk, Mean Gene, Hulk, what are you doing? You're supposed to meet me out front. It's 5 a.m, man.
Hulk, come on. It's 5:00 a.m. Where are we going to go at this hour?
Exactly what we said. The workout start 5:00. What are you doing with that smoke blowing in my face? My God, what is this, Gino?
Well, Hulk, I'm getting ready for breakfast here. I'm going to have some pancakes, couple of eggs, some bacon. Before I work out, I was just having a cigar.
Hey, we're gonna start out on the right foot. Get that coffee out of your mouth. We're gonna start out on the right foot. I'll make you breakfast. Just stay right there. Now, Mean Gene, just listen to me. Forget the cigars, the coffee, the bacon and eggs, and especially those blueberry pancakes. Get me a couple glasses wherever they're at.
Be more than
happy
to. Get
me a couple glasses, and I'll make you breakfast right now, Gino.
What do you got in mind here, Hulk?
Oh, I got something that'll keep you going all day long, Daddy. Don't worry about a thing, brother. Just don't worry about it.
You have got to be kidding me.
No carbs, no fat, nothing but pure protein, bro. You know, this is the eye of the Hulkster, man. You got to get your head right.
Hulk, not raw eggs.
Oh, that's
come on.
This is the only way to go, Mean Gene. You're in strict training. We gotta watch your diet. We gotta make sure you don't get overloaded with all those carbohydrates, and especially that nasty cigar I saw you smoking, Mean Gene.
Well,
look, the best protein you can get, we're gonna do this 4 times a day. Just watch me, Mean Gene. Just watch how easy it goes down, and then you're next, brother. This is how we start the day. Every morning and every 2 hours, we do the same thing.
Oh, no, Hulk, I couldn't.
There's not a better way to go. Come on, Mean Gene. You're already late. I was here at 5 a.m, man. You're sitting there sucking on a cigar and drinking that coffee. Get your head right, man. You made a promise to me and all the people around the Twin Cities and Upper Wisconsin area. So get it together, man. Let's do it.
Well, I'll tell you, Hulk. I'm afraid. I saw you just woof it down. I'm afraid I'd lose it. Now, I've made a commitment to you. I've made a commitment to the people of the Twin Cities.
Well, the thing is, hold on. If you're going to lose it, if you can't have it, we got to run a couple miles right now. But as soon as the sun comes up.
A couple miles.
That's right.
Before the sun's even up?
That's right, Mean Gene. I don't want you to lose it out there, Daddy, because we're just getting started. I'll take care of business. When we get back, I'll make a couple more shakes for you, okay?
Oh, my.
Let's do it, man. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right.
So I've not gotten to see that match, but they had a match in St. Paul Tag Team.
Yes.
And this training thing, and by the way, because they don't mention it, it's raw eggs there at the beginning that Hulk Hogan makes for him to have for breakfast. And Gene's just looking at it like he's turning green, just looking and watching
Hulk.
You
gotta be kidding me. Give me a break.
Hulk just downs him, and Gene's looking at this like turning green, like, I don't know if I can keep this down.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
One
of the
so
classic
funny
moments. And I did see that match.
At the end,
Hogan, you know, he brings him in and he kind of makes him do it. All he really does is throw him on top while Hogan's done all the work. And Gene gets to do the pin. That's basically it. But it's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun.
I don't mean to ruin it for you, but they win.
Yeah, they win, obviously. I mean, because it's Hulk Hogan, he rarely ever lost back in the day. But then one fateful day.
Oh, yes.
Something happened over at WCW that actually launched WCW for 86 weeks. They were actually bigger than the WWF back in the 90s.
Excuse me. What in the world are you thinking?
Me, Gene, the first thing you need to do is to tell these people to shut up if you want to hear what I got to say.
Been with you for so many years. For you to join up with the likes of these two men absolutely makes me sick to my stomach. And I think that these people here and a lot of other people around the world have had just about enough of this man, and you want to put yourself in this group? You've got to be kidding me.
Well, the first thing you gotta realize, brother, is this right here is the future of wrestling. You can call this the new world order of wrestling, brother. These two men right here came from a great big organization up north, and everybody was wondering who the third man was. Well, who knows more about that organization than me, brother?
I've been there, I've done that. You have made the wrong decision, in my opinion.
Well, let me tell you something. I made that organization a monster. I made people rich up there. I made the people that ran that organization rich up there, brother. And when it all came to pass, the name Hulk Hogan, the man Hulk Hogan, got bigger than the whole organization, brother. And then billionaire Ted, amigo, he wanted to talk turkey with Hulk Hogan. Well, billionaire Ted promised me movies, brother. Billionaire Ted promised me millions of dollars. And billionaire Ted promised me world caliber matches. And as far as billionaire Ted goes, Eric Bischoff, and the whole WCW goes, I'm bored, brother. That's why these two guys here, the so-called outsiders, these are the men I want as my friends. They're the new blood of professional wrestling, brother. And not only are we gonna take over the whole wrestling business with Hulk Hogan and the new blood, the monsters with me, we will destroy everything in our path, Mean Gene.
Look at all of this crap in this ring. This is what's in the future for you if you want to hang around the likes of this man Hall and this man Nash.
As far as I'm concerned, all of this crap in the ring represents these fans out here. For 2 years, brother, for 2 years, I held my head high. I did everything for the charities. I did everything for the kids. And the reception I got when I came out here, you fans can stick it, brother. Because if it wasn't for Hulk Hogan, you people wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for Hulk Hogan, Eric Bischoff would be still selling meat from a truck in Minneapolis. And if it wasn't for Hulk Hogan, all these Johnny-come-latelys that you see out here, wrestling wouldn't be here. I was selling out the world, brother, while they were bumming gas to put in their car to get to high school. So the way it is now, brother, with Hulk Hogan and the New World Organization of Wrestling, brother, me and the new blood by my side, what you gonna do when the New World Organization runs wild on you? What you gonna do? What are you gonna do?
Don't touch me, I'm gonna flee the lawyers.
So in the biggest heel turn in wrestling history, Hulk Hogan comes out to support the outsiders, Kevin Nash and Scott Hall,
yes,
and launches the NWO, New yes. World Order, which dominated the Monday Night Wars.
Absolutely.
And even though I wasn't watching WCW at the time, I was over watching the Attitude Era.
I was watching some.
So,
yeah. Which, but ironically, I just happened to wear an NWO shirt at the moment, and I just bought it. I
wasn't even thinking about it.
I had no idea. I just happened to put it on.
This also was the rebranding of Sting when he came out with his yes. crow makeup and everything. Yeah. And so,
came around about that time.
Yeah. I mean, this was like the biggest thing because the NWO just kept growing and getting bigger. And then Goldberg would show up. And so, I mean, they really had some good stuff that launched right at that heel turn. And once again, Gene is there at the pivot moment in history.
Yeah.
And even I love his bit, like, don't touch me, I got to flee the lawyers.
That's right.
But you can just see the disgust on Gene's face as he's talking to Hulk Hogan, who's supposed to have been his friend for all these years. I'm like, you've sided with these horrible people. And
that's right.
Oh, it was just great.
Gene's great.
He helped tell the story.
And that's even after all that, he continued to come back when they'd have special nights. He was always there. Everybody loved him.
Yeah.
Everybody loved him.
And he will be missed. 76 years old. Drink your root beer to you.
Yeah. We love you, Mean Gene. Always have, always will.
Yep. But I guess that's a good place. I had other clips to go through, but I think that's a good place to wrap it up. Because, I mean, the Macho Man cream of the crop bit was funny. Yeah. I've also got a great bit from Saturday Night's Main Event that I found where George the Animal Steel has wandered around the Detroit Zoo with Mean Gene.
Yes. And don't forget, he was a singer.
That's right. And we'll get a little bit of a clip of that as we fade out. Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPCast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/NeverlandPodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello, everybody, this is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Yeah!
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.